drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. When it comes to world music, are you someone who makes the pilgrimage to world music festivals to hear the fusion of ethnic, folk and Indigenous sounds? If you are, then perhaps you may have seen and heard my drawing room guest. Her name is Shashila Raman, and she's one of world music's best-known performers, who is pretty good at getting audiences dancing in the aisles. She's played all over the world, winning fans over with her sometimes foot-stomping, sometimes gentle and haunting mix of Indian, Asian, African, Eastern European and alternative music sounds. Her latest album, Ghost Gamelan, was voted by The Guardian as one of the 10 best world music albums in 2018, and very shortly we're going to hear why she made it on that list. Welcome, Shashila.
Hi, thanks very much for having me.
You are a woman who sings music from around the world. I'm often, you know, I struggle with this label world music because it's such an Anglo-centric terminology, but you literally do sing music from around the world. Tell me about how you got into music.
Well, you know, my parents came from South India, and I was born in London, but I actually grew up in Sydney. And I started doing music as a teenager. And I didn't really think of it as world music. I just thought of it as, you know, I'm just sort of reflecting who I am. I sang rock covers band as a teenager, but as a child I learned South Indian classical music. I think when you're second generation migrant, you try to make sense of your reality. And I went back to London in 1997, and there was a lot of fusion going on there with the Indian community. We're doing lots of interesting work. And I began working with my producer, Sam Mills, in about 1997, and we started creating a hybrid work. And that was the reality of my life then. I think I spent quite a lot of time doing some music which was at the axis of Britain and India, and exploring India quite a lot, you know. So I didn't think of it as world music, to answer your question. I mean, I just thought of it as, you know, this is just my reality. And this is just the reality of living in a big city, you know, and big cities have lots of interesting mixes of people in them. And, you know, I didn't think it was anything foreign. Because I think if you say the term world music, it sort of implies that it's other or foreign. And
Well, this is my issue with it.
Yeah.
Because everything is wrong with the term, and yet we keep using it. Why?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a marketing category, really. It was a sort of a lot of people sitting around in a marketing room. I mean, you know, world music wasn't invented. You know, when Bob Marley came around, world music, the term wasn't invented, or Fela Kuti or these people. It was pre-world music. And you know, Bob Marley was just, you know, someone great from Jamaica. He was a great person, and no one called him world music at the time. It's a marketing category, and it was invented as a category to, you know, to navigate the record shops. So, yeah, and I'm not really bothered at all by it, but it's just there.
So I love the Sydney part of your upbringing, but you were born in London.
Yeah.
Your parents are Tamil. What influence did they have on your musical tastes and education?
Well, I studied South Indian classical music as a child. All diaspora Tamils who come abroad all teach their children South Indian classical music. So I learned, a very diligent student, learnt classical music until age 13, when I rebelled and I thought, oh, I don't like this anymore, and I wanted to sort of, you know, listen to The Doors and Hendrix and things like that. It's quite rebellious.
When did it become not just about The Doors, but also then the blues too?
Yeah, the blues. Yeah, I got into sort of blues, soul, a lot of 60s rock when I was young. And I think I got to about age 20, 21, and I thought, okay, now I really want to try and develop the sound, and I want to try and do something a bit deeper. And it was around that time where I discovered the singer, who's called Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, who is from Pakistan. And Nusrat was, he was made famous by Peter Gabriel on the Peter Gabriel's label on Real World. And I saw Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, and he was so powerful. He was, I think, one of the greatest singers of the, you know, the last century almost. And he was so powerful. He was from the sort of Sufi Islamic mystic sort of tradition. And he just really blew my mind. And seeing that at such a young age, at age 20, really opened my mind to music of the subcontinent. Whereas I think before that I'd quite rejected music from India, or because, you know, I'd learned it as a child and there was a category. There was like, okay, well, that was what I did at home. And then when I'm with my friends, I listen to Western music. And seeing Nusrat, really, for me, something broke, because to see something so powerful and so enormous that was so deeply spiritual and that was connecting with, you know, with audiences that were beyond, you know, who could comprehend something beyond the language, that, you know, came down to a sort of basic sense of humanity, that was really, really inspiring. And that really changed my life in the sense of that made me open my eyes back to my own heritage. At the time, my parents had retired and they'd left Australia and they moved back to India. And I started going to India and started traveling around, meeting people. I studied North Indian classical music for a little while and then finally went back to London and then started experimenting with writing, you know, fusing English music with, you know, bits of Indian music. And then finally meeting my producer and the love of my life, who I'm still together with, Sam Mills, who was a producer at the time for Real World Records, for Peter Gabriel's label. And that was a very important moment, because he'd recorded an album called Real Sugar, which was a collaboration with a Bengali singer. And this album was, it really blew my mind, because there was a lot of fusion going on at the time. And I really wanted to meet this person. My publisher set up a meeting and then we met, and then we haven't looked back ever since.
We're going to play a song from one of your earlier albums, Vel, which was released in 2010. The song is called Raise Up. But before we hear it, tell me a bit about this song, because it's got a bit of, it's got a bit of everything, really. It is genuinely kind of a fusion sound. Talk me through this.
We were invited to a very big literary festival called Jaipur Literary Festival in North India. And it was there we started collaborating with folk musicians from Rajasthan. And one of them was this extremely powerful stick drummer called Nathulal Solanki. And that sound on Raise Up is really very driven by his Nagara drum. So he toured with us, and another Rajasthani singer, Kutla Khan, they toured with us for quite a long time. So that sound that we're channeling there is really quite a sound of Rajasthan.
Let's hear it. This is Raise Up.
Come
That was Sushila Raman singing Raise Up from her 2010 album Vel, and she's my guest tonight in the drawing room. You mentioned before Sam, who's your partner. What effect did your teaming up have in terms of the kind of music you started making, in terms of your artistic style?
I think it's been the most important musical relationship of my life. We really function as a unit. Sam is my biggest critic in terms of writing. You know, we write together. The whole thing is really a collaboration in every sense. I don't know where I start and where he begins. We really are. Yes.
But, so it's this sort of...
But Sam is, he was an academic before. He's an anthropologist who studied, you know, Islamic fundamentalism before it actually became so topical as it is today. He studied Sufi cults in Bangladesh. So he has like a sort of another layer as well. He's, you know, of knowledge that he puts into working, you know, on these cross-cultural projects and things that we do. He was also in post-punk group called 23 Skidoo when he was young. And, you know, he has very, very interesting background and he has very interesting sets of references, which he brings to the table. And I have to say that when we met, we forged a path together, which was very unique and original.
Tell me about Ghost Gamelan. In Australia, we probably should know what gamelan means, but most of us probably don't. What is it?
So gamelan is the traditional music of Indonesia. It's also the it's the biggest orchestral tradition after the Western orchestral tradition. It's like multiple instruments, metallophones in all different shapes and sizes. Racks of huge gongs, but it's orchestral, so you have all these different orchestral instruments and they're all polyrhythmic parts. So the combined effect of gamelan is absolutely mesmeric. Going there to Indonesia in 2015 for the first time was absolutely mind-blowing. Actually just hearing it, firstly going to Bali and then just wandering around and hearing this music on the streets was just absolutely magical. It's like a sort of, it was like walking around in a dream.
And how do you immerse yourself in a completely new style of music? Is it exactly what you just say, going there, immersing yourself, hanging out with local artists, completely drowning in it?
Well, nothing was to prepare us for gamelan because the tonal system is completely different to anything Western, to anything Indian, to anything, you know, European, to, you know, I've worked with Greeks and Syrians and, you know, Russians and, you know, it was absolutely so, so different to anything that I'd done before. How did we do it? I mean, in that sense, a series of coincidences. We were very fortunately introduced to somebody who was the son of someone from the royal family. His father was a very big counterculture poet, and so this guy he started introducing us into gamelan circles. So we somehow, you know, very fortuitously made a connection where we started meeting gamelan inner circles, and it was really like walking through some strange trapdoor. And then eventually the crunch came where we met Gondron Gonatu, who's the person that we collaborated with, and you know, we were invited to his studio and we sat down and we started playing together, and there was an extremely fantastic connection there that was very natural. But that was the easy part. It was recording it was, you know, okay, well, we recorded it. We had we played with a basic guitar track and then I did a guide vocal and we had this audio, but actually taking it back to London and figuring out what to do with it at home was like probably the most difficult thing we'd ever done.
So we're going to play a song, Beautiful Moon. What should we know about this song that we're going to end on?
So Beautiful Moon is about striving for something which is very unachievable, as sometimes we do in life.
I like how you just left it there. Yeah. I think we all get what you mean. Hey, thank you so much for coming into the drawing room.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And that is Sushila Raman. And we're going to play a song now. This is Beautiful Moon.
the moon. He will have the last laugh. I wanted it all. His best offer was half a night in his bath. Made imposter of day, beautiful moon. Did I chase you away?
That was Sushila Raman with Beautiful Moon in tonight's drawing room. Sushila is performing Ghost Gamelan at the Melbourne Recital Centre tomorrow. That's Saturday the 19th of October. And then at the Adelaide Festival Centre's AusAsia Festival next week on Wednesday, October the 23rd and Thursday, October the 24th.